tells me about the work he's got in Collinsville. And I guess he's always had the gray hair. Yeah. Because I remember him showing up, and he tells me, he says, but you gotta you come to the English church, the Welcome Baptist Church. And you know, I'm still young. I was younger and eager. Anybody said, come, we go. I said, yeah, let's go. And so he invites me, and I know nothing of Brother Butler. I just, but I start coming this way, and I think I came this other way. And I mean, the roads is windy, fields. And I said, Texas, say, hey, there's this man that invited me to pay taxes. Can something happen to me? Right here, we've got Alabama. Back there, someone. Then somebody. Here's me. Yeah. I thought we were going to, something waiting for Brother Trump. Brother Trump had been a friend of the church. You got a prayer card this morning. So we are starting deputation, and we are starting to look forward to building a or starting a church plant in Calhoun, Georgia, right there in Gordon County. In Gordon County, there's about, I want to say, on the conservative side, about 12,000 Spanish speaking. That's side, and somebody said it's more than that, but beyond, there's about 12,000 Spanish speaking. Five, six. Ranch on. Numbers that I was giving them, they'll be good. Operate those. There is no. They point out a couple churches and there's no word with Lord. The word. Wednesday, and so think there might be one in. Sarah's visit. Start that Spanish market in Rome that we went by there this morning.
8:30, great interview. Heartbreaking to know that this morning another Sunday has gone by. They want to hear. Documents have been put out. We're Bible believing Baptists. We believe the Bible. And that's all we want to teach in Gordon County. And the people who can have a Christian heritage. Meetings, so y'all pray to the Lord or open the door. Find a place of now who is in our need. And Lord, bless me. I was able to write a gospel tonight. Got a fact that's printed right now. If that's going to be a blessing and a help, pray for us and respect us. Be good for the rest of the kingdom. And then, pray, Lord, give us a place, get us in front of the right people. There's possibly people this morning that are praying there in Calhoun and saying, Lord, can you send us somebody? Send a church here. Maybe they're Baptist from somewhere else and they've migrated to Calhoun and in those areas. I say this where we go. You know, Taco Bell, they had the saying years ago, run to the border, you know, and that was the saying. That ain't the right saying, because when you cross the border, you run from the border. You know that they're not running to the border; they're running away from the border, and so this is north, and so even though we're in the south, this is north, away from the border. So, and you know, met a lot of people and say, Brother Leon, I worship a lot of service people. There's possibly people who are praying, Lord, and will send them out for the students. Y'all pray for us that the Lord put us in front of our feet, to step through the Lord, to play the window, get us in front of the right people. Of course, Christians, this money, so the Lord will help us from you. Presenting the work, your church is going to take along and support the movement. We're going to continue to work. And for the pastor, we're praying already for a pastor. Say, well, you don't even got a building. You ain't got a meeting place. You ain't sticking out the first time. Yeah, but we're praying for the pastor already. That the Lord will carefully manage. That will come and take that work. And not only that, but we're also looking to train individuals. So once we get that work established, we'll be looking to train men as they come in and give them an education. Brother Ron Front, or Brother Simpson, who preaches here, Ronnie Simpson, he got Macedonia Bible College, and so we're able to give them our prayer card. And his wife, I said that she spoke to my wife and said, hey, if y'all need anything in Spanish, as far as if you're looking to train individuals in anything that we have in Spanish, as far as their college program, they said, would be free. Anything you want for Spanish college sports, you just let us know and we'll send it all to you. So it's already a curriculum waiting for young men, young ladies, Spanish speakers who get saved, born and closed, interested in getting into the ministry. We've got four of them already ready to get sent to us. So y'all keep that in prayer. Of course, it'll be people that have church. We started works in Texas, and one of the things that in Texas, when you're a church planner, you start seeing this church has been here since 67. And so some of you may have been here since you might have been here since 67. No, I'm only teasing her because she teased me earlier about the gray hair. And I wasn't there to you, though, as you know, we but and so when you come to Welcome Baptist Church, and if you just recently started coming, and you weren't here back in 67, 60. 8, 69, 70, 70, here in the 70s. Maybe when they started, they didn't have these night machines. And there was something else here. They didn't have the nice piano, and they didn't have this nice furniture, and there's certain things that maybe were not here that are here today. Songbooks. You come to church, and you just expect songbooks are going to be there. But when you're a church planner and you're planning a church, you got to pray those songbooks in. You got to pray, Lord, can you send songbooks? You send some money so we can buy some songbooks? And so it's those kind of things that even myself, we go to Concord, and there's things you expect. There are Sunday school teachers. Oh, you just expect to show up, and there'll be Sunday school teachers already living. So there's things we take for granted and I guess the Bible talks about going to preach to somebody else's labor. And so we go to churches today enjoying the fruits of somebody else's labor. The pews. When did these pews get in here? Anybody know? Padded pews too. Pastor Allen would say, padded pews. This is a benefit. Not having to say, I don't know what y'all sat on before these padded pews or what you had, but this is a benefit. And this just didn't appear out of thin air. Somebody break these pews yet. Somebody said, on this day, we're going to take a special offering. That we could pick up money that we shouldn't have being pocketed. And just the flags, I gave our flags that, well, I love my flags that we started it with Texas. Nobody said the film. Flags. Perfect. I went around trying to buy, look at flags to buy. Flags are not cheap. So I gave the flags that I bought them. I can't have the flags. Got to bring them with me. But I gave them to Spanish work in Collinsville. And I go in there and I inspect the flags to make sure they're all right, they're keeping clean, they're not getting messed around. I move them around, make sure they're nice. Why would you do that? Well, praying for those flags. Somebody gave money for those flags. And so when you're starting to work, and you got people coming in. And maybe you start at somebody's living room, and that might be a blessing because then they can themselves start to see, boy, God has moved. God has blessed. God has provided. Sometimes people. Tea in the church house. Listen, the White House, the government, conference didn't say, let me give you some money to help school kids. Not a, maybe, I don't think his terms have ever been independent. If it's been an independent transfer, even if it's the convention, I think they give you a loan and you still have to repay that back. But then you're talking about people have given about the year and given about the years that you would have. I had fixers too. Reaping the benefits of somebody else's favor. Those men and women before us who maybe said, you know, I can take a vacation, but get that thing turned. And you here today, if you're giving and you're sacrificing, this, you're doing it because there's coming a generation. And when they come to church, they'll be sitting and saying that they know not where that is. They don't know how you sacrifice, but they're benefiting. They're benefiting the things you've done. Just like we've benefited from the previous generation and said, somebody said, there needs to be a church. This wasn't just here. Nice brick building. It was worth the price today. Nobody's guaranteed. Only here for the Father. But we have started here. Souls are getting saved. The children that are being raised in church, Christian heritage, the joy you may walk out of here with in your heart. Knowing that you came to church and you're closer to God, change your life, the ripple effect that will have down the road and down the road. Those individuals may not be here no more. They're in heaven. And it's still going to their house. Somebody pays the price. Don't pray for us. At the start of works, and teach it to me. It's the Spanish speaking in the community. Sure. But it may be grateful for the things we and be thankful for the things. Be good stewards of things. The blessing. A pastor's. That's a wonder. There may be churches today that they're meeting. I remember we came out of the church in Odom, Bible Baptist Church, and when I got there, they had a pastor, and he was sick, and then he resigned, and we're the pastor. Brownsville, there was a Spanish or Spanish church having a missions conference. And one of the missionaries got up and he said, "I went and I looked at this piece of ground." He said, "It was ugly." He said, "It was rolled up. There was mess." He said, "It didn't even look well to me." Nothing. The Lord said, "This is grandchildren and all." But I caught that. I said, I went to them later on. I went to him and I said, "You know, it's a blessing to me to hear what you said about your wife backing you. That's important. That's important." I've been to a church where I've seen it happen, where the congregation and everybody's fellowshipping over there, and the wife and the new babies over there. You go and preach the message of comfort about 10 different books. Try to attempt to go further, help Christ, help Christ, start this. Your burden. Yes. Yes. operate from the left. He's got to travel. And then so I this night and we come back to the village. That's not is just making and we came to the airport. He was up in Rodolph. And Butler took him and said, just go right here and park it, park it. Hey. So that's Brother Philip. And Brother Butler saying, no, I'm paying that. And he's saying, no, I'm not letting you pay it either. And they said, no, you're not paying that either. So that's just how it is. For Brother Butler, we have to walk his level. He's already in his finances. You know, get there so he knows how much they need this year. Go. Frank them, he first fell on prayer, that journey's on. Any difference? You have to find this to see. Matthew chapter 6.
He talks about consider the lilies. But before that, he talks about man serving manna and God. And so when I saw this and I read this, I thought in 6:24, he says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And so I preached that message. I didn't preach that message. I preached a little bit further down where he talks about consider the lilies at her graduation. But when I saw that in Matthew 6:24, that little phrase there, ye cannot, that kind of stuck out to me. And I said, well, that's pretty, to me, that's strong language. Strong language that Jesus is saying, ye cannot. And I said, boy, that goes way against me as a man that somebody says, you cannot. And I said, well, you're on the job site and they say, hey, can you do this? And you say, well, I don't know. And we say, are you a Mexican or a Mexican? Can you do it or not? Are you an American or an American? And so I'm American. And let me show you how I'm going to get this done. And you go out there and you do it. And you get things done. And you make things happen. Because it is in our nature that we can do some things. But when I read that, I said, man, that goes way against that thinking. When Jesus says, ye can not. There are some things that we just cannot do. Doesn't matter how strong you are. And I got Levi here. He's almost as strong as his dad. Almost there. But you touch his arm and it's like touching that wood. Mine is steel, Levi. And so Levi's strong. Not a lot of things physically he cannot do. You got people in here who are intelligent, they're smart. There's not a lot of things intelligent wise they feel they cannot do. But yet the Bible says it don't matter how strong you are, how intelligent you are, how rich you are, there are some things ye cannot do. There's some ye cannots in the Bible. There's some ye cannots in the Bible. And it don't matter how much of your ability you think you have. He says you just can't do it. You cannot. And it's not like the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not. Because the Ten Commandments says, you shall not. So he's saying, don't do this, and we break the Ten Commandments. This is different. Ye cannot. There's an impossibility here when it comes to man. And so the ye cannot statements of Scripture reveal the spiritual inability of man apart from the work of God's Spirit and point us to the sufficiency of Christ in every area of our life. We have to depend on Jesus Christ. Why? Because there's some ye cannots in the Bible. There's some impossibilities in the Bible. I often think about the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus. Good master, what must I do to be saved? He asked Jesus. And Jesus looks at him and says, why callest thou me good? There's none good. He says, you know the commandments. And of course, he goes on saying, well, I've kept these from my youth up. He says, sell all that I have, give to the poor, come and follow me. And the Bible says that young man went away very disappointed, very sad, because he had much riches, much goods. And even the disciples were astonished when Jesus spoke that way. And Peter comes to him and says, who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? And Jesus says, with man it is impossible. And I always think about that. I say, you know, if Jesus would have turned around right there, friend, if he would have said, with man it is impossible, and I always think a mic drop moment and dropped the mic and said, good luck to you. See how you get it, but it's impossible with you. And if he turned around and walked away from the disciples, we would have been in trouble. Because he asked the question, who then can be saved? Who can be saved? Jesus said it's impossible when it comes to man. There's an inability for man to be saved. But thank God he didn't stop there. Right? With man, it is impossible. He doesn't stop there, brother. He does what Brother Stennett Ballou calls a Holy Ghost conjunction. A Holy Ghost conjunction. He says, but with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. And so, when you look at Luke chapter number 4 there, when Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me, for he's anointed me to preach the gospel. And he goes on and saying who he's preaching the gospel to. And he has a phrase in there to heal the brokenhearted. He doesn't say to help the brokenhearted. He says, but to heal the brokenhearted, to heal them. Listen, when we go out and we see individuals and you walk around, I was in Corpus Christi and I was with my dad, and I remember we come out and he said, can you take me to the store? And I took him to the store, and there's a town there. There's a street there, Air Street. And there was, and this is broad daylight, and there's people laying around on the ground. There's people walking around like zombies. I mean, it looked different than when I remember Corpus being. But the Lord said, brokenhearted, right there. There's your brokenhearted right there. And I told my dad, I said, what are they on? He said, they're on everything. There's all kinds of stuff people can get on over here. And he said, you think it's bad now, come back at night. He said, come back at night, it gets worse. And so here, there you have brokenhearted people who individuals may see them and say, there's an impossibility for them to ever get right. There is no help for those individuals. There's no hope for those individuals. Somebody may say that. But Jesus said over there, he said, with God, all things are possible. One of those individuals may be the person that'll pastor a church I might start if they get saved and born again. Isn't that wonderful? That with God, all things are possible. That there is an impossibility when it comes to the inability of man apart from God. But when you add God into the equation, then there's ability. There's possibility, right, for somebody to be saved. And so the phrase "ye cannot" appears throughout the King James Bible as a sobering reminder that there are spiritual realities beyond human reach. In the age that glorifies self-reliance, the Bible calls us to God-dependence. And of course, you know, you've heard there was a presidential campaign won one time. Wonder, where was his saying? Yes, you can! And everybody flocked and said, yes, we can. Yes, we can. You remember y'all voted for him? No? Not in Alabama? But a bunch of people did. They said, yes, we can. And the Bible says, no, you can't. No, you can't. You cannot. You cannot. And so it is an age that glorifies self-reliance. You can be what you want to be. You can do what you want to do. The sky's the limit. But the Bible says, ye cannot. Ye cannot. There's some things we just cannot do apart from God. And so the ye cannot statements tear down the pride of man. Doesn't that hurt your pride a little bit? Well, I can do whatever I put my mind to. No, you can't. You can't do whatever you put your mind to. You can only do what God allows you to do. Because there's some things that ye cannot do. There's some things you can't do. No matter how big you are, how tough you are, how smart you are, some things you're just not going to be able to do. Some things you're just not going to be able to do. So it tears down the pride of man and exalts the grace of God. This morning we'll study four of them, each from the lips of Christ, to see why, to see what they teach us about the nature of salvation, about the nature of devotion, about the nature of service, and about the nature of our eternal destiny, where we're headed. And so in John chapter number 3 this morning, in verse number 3, we'll come across our first "ye cannot" here. John 3:3. Can I get a little bit of water, bro? Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He cannot see the kingdom of God. I was thinking earlier when you mentioned about praying for the families, and I was thinking about when I was going to, thinking about preaching this message. I don't know why the thought came to me about my my buddy, my friend in Corpus that I worked with in the refineries, Ray Gonzalez. I'd been witnessing to him for years and years, and one day he just confided in me, and he said, "You know, Leon," he said, "I've got a son, 17 years old." He said, "One day me and my wife, we went out, and I took my twin boys, my young twin boys. He stayed home," he said, "and he had a friend come over." He said the friend had a gun. He said, "And as my boys on the stereo system," he said, the gun goes off." He said, "The gun goes off, my son gets shot in the back." He said, "And his friend panics and leaves. Doesn't even call the police, doesn't call the hospital, doesn't call nobody. Just panics and leaves." He says, "We showed up." He said, "I'm unpacking things." We said, they went to the mother-in-law's. "I'm unpacking things," and my wife goes inside, and she comes out just hysterical. I said, "What's the matter?" She says, "Our son is on the in the front. I can't get him to get up." He said, "I went to where he was at, and he said he was just pale." He said, "I start trying to wake him up. He won't wake up." He said, I don't know what's the matter." He said, "But as I'm grabbing him, I can feel a hole in his back." He said, "I turn him around, and there's a pool of blood right there." He said, "He died right there. He bled out." He said, "Where's my son, Leon?" I said, "Ray, I can only tell you what the Bible says." What do you tell somebody? "Where's my son?" "He's just missing with the radio, 17 years old. Life's starting for him. Somebody shoots him in the back and doesn't get him no help. Good kid. Where's my son?" I said, "I can only tell you what the Bible says, Ray. That's all I can tell you." He said, "What's it say?" And I read him this verse. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Just can't do it. I said, "Now, I don't know where your son was. According to this verse, I don't know." And he said, "You're just rigid." He said, "You're rigid, Leon. You're mean." And he walked away from it. And then later on, though, that week, Lord kind of gave me a burden. And I was able to talk to Ray a little bit more and preach to him. And then they moved him off somewhere. And that night, he said he got saved. The next morning, he let me know about it. But this came to mind about his son. Ye cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again. If you're not born again, you're not going to be able to get in. There's an impossibility there. good works ain't going to do it. And here's Nicodemus. He's a religious man. He's a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. He's a moral man. He's a devout man. He knows the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, by memory. He's fasting all the time. He gives of his tithe all the time. He's constantly at the synagogue. He's a worshiper of God. He's doing all the right things. But yet when he comes to Jesus by night, Jesus doesn't commend his religion. Jesus doesn't say, "You're doing a good job, Nicodemus. Keep doing it. You're doing great. Keep going at it. You'll get it one day." No, Jesus confronts his need. See, you got a need. You need to be born again. He said, it's what you need. You must be born again. And so here Jesus said, mentioned the word see. And here it means to perceive or to experience. Jesus is plainly saying, man can't even perceive the things of God until he is made a new creature in Christ. There's some things that we do at church. If you're not saved and born again, it'll start wearing on you. Preaching will start wearing on you because you don't understand. The natural-minded man receiveth not the things of God. You can't receive the things of God. You can't see the things of God. You can't perceive the things of God. It makes no sense to you why we keep having church every week. It makes no sense to you why we go out on visitation. It makes no sense to you why we sing the songs we sing. It makes no sense to you why people stand up and say, "Glory to God," and put their hands up and worship a holy God. Makes no sense to you. And it never will until you're born again, until you're saved. I remember we're at Faith Baptist Camp, and I guess his brother Kid is preaching, and a lady, just in the middle of his preaching, gets up, sitting in the front row, and she just starts, "Woo!" Starts shouting it out. And I think it was a Thursday afternoon, and she just starts shouting it out, "Woo!" at Faith Baptist Camp. And I won't forget what Brother Kidd said. He said, and Preacher Allen has taught us this too, but Brother Kidd said, "You just leave her alone and let her worship." He said, "You see that person sitting next to her?" And it was somebody in a suit, dressed up nice. He said, "That's her husband." He said, "Last year I preached. They were from Dayton, Tennessee, Brother Leland Fraser's church." He said, "Last year I preached a revival at Brother Fraser's church." He said, and the wife had gotten saved probably 2 days earlier of the revival. She said, "Here comes her husband walking in. He's tattered. He's just worn down. He'd been using drugs. She didn't know where he was. But he gets saved during that meeting. And there he sat on the front row in Faith Baptist Camp with the suit on, amening the preacher, in love with God. There'd been a change in his life, so much that the wife saw it, and God touched her, and she was just overwhelmed with what was happening." So, Brother Kidd said, "You just leave her alone. And let her thank God for what he's done for her husband and has done for her and her family." And she was having herself a time. Woo! How could you not? Did Alabama win yesterday or did they lose? They won? You know how you was having it last night? Woo! They score a touchdown. Yeah! Who'd they beat? A high school team? You know how they get excited over football? And I'm not. Hey, I watch the Cowboys, so I don't get too excited over football. I don't live an excited football life. I don't even watch the Cowboys. I probably hadn't watched the Cowboys game in several years, but I always looking at the scores and I get disappointed, you know. Again. I got a word for stupid Cowboys. And once I say, well, that's they're gone. You know, they're no good. But boy, they can get excited about a pigskin, right? They can get excited about a touchdown, a game that's gonna mean nothing. It'll mean nothing. But somebody gets saved, born again. God does a work in their heart and their life, gets them off dope, puts them on hope, gets beer out of their hand and puts a Bible in their hand, gets them out of the mire, puts them in the choir. Well, that's something to get excited about. To get excited about. Why is she excited about that? Why do Christians get excited about that? Why is it when somebody gets up and gets a testimony and says, this is what God has done for me, the brethren get excited with you? Why? Because we see the things of God. We can perceive the things of God. We love the move of God. But if you're not saved, you cannot. You can't perceive it. You can't understand it. Why? That's because sin has blinded the eyes and deadened the hearts of man who is in sin. No one drifts into the kingdom. The Spirit must give new life. In Titus 3:5, the Bible tells us, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And so you don't get saved, number one, by accident. You don't get saved by being a church member. You don't get saved by doing good. Your baptismal certificate, it may mean something here, down here. But when it's said and done, and we're in the glory world, it means nothing if you didn't get saved and born again. You're putting the cart before the horses. The cart before the horses, and you're not going to move nowhere. That's why you don't understand the things of God this morning. That's why you struggle with the things of God. It could be you need to be born again. It's an impossibility. You're trying to get into heaven through another way. The Bible says that the thief climbs over another way. How did you get in, friend? Because I climbed over another way. So you're a thief and a robber. It's an impossibility. You cannot get in. And so you may have religion like Nicodemus, yet be lost. You can't educate yourself into the kingdom or reform yourself in your own way. Somebody says, I'll turn over a new leaf. And they turn over a new leaf. Then the wind blows and the leaf turns back around. Then the wind blows and the leaf turns back around. And you know what it is. Those individuals just can't never settle down. They need to get saved. Need to get born again. Need to give their all to Jesus. Need to invite them into his, invite him into their hearts. I remember when I got saved and born again, it was easy. It wasn't hard. It was easy to be saved. It may be impossible for you to get to heaven without Jesus Christ, but he makes it easy for you to be saved. We gave you good music this morning, gave you padded pews to come in, gave you a nice church building to come into. Listen, you can kneel down at the carpet at the altars right here and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. It's easy this morning to be saved. It's easy to be saved. Lord, I remember I went in to my bedroom. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and save me. Just like that. Never been the same again. Saved me. And he changed me. And he'll do the same for you. You must be born again. You must be born from above. You must be born by the power of God's Spirit. You cannot get in any other way. It's an impossibility today. It's an impossibility. Number two, you cannot serve God and mammon. The Bible says in Matthew 6, 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And so Jesus had been teaching about treasures and laying up treasures in heaven rather than on earth. Now he declares the moral impossibility. You cannot serve two masters at once. The heart is loyal to one or the other. You cannot serve two masters at once. So serve means to be a bond slave. And mammon represents worldly wealth and possessions. And so, you know, Jesus is not condemning wealth itself, but the worship of it. You know, Pastor Allen's always said, and the Bible teaches this, he says, it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. He didn't say it was money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And so God demands undivided devotion. The throne of the heart is made for one king and one alone. Is he your Lord this morning? That means ruler. Is he your boss? Is he the boss this morning in your life? Is he the ruler of your life? I'm always, when I read there in Acts, when the sheik's coming down and there's all manner of creepy things, creepy crawling things on there. The horse tells Peter, rise up and eat. And Peter says, I'm so good. I'm always amazed at that. He's your Lord. Don't say not for him. He's the Lord. If he says, rise up and eat, you, yes, sir, rise up and eat. I'm at the house. I'm dad. And sometimes my boys, I have a hard time with you. They're too big already. You know, you say, hey, do this. All right, I'll get done. I got to go do this first. No, you do it now. Well, I am going to do it, but I have to, what? And so that's the way it is somewhere. I know y'all don't have any children. You don't have an issue. But y'all pray for Brother Mel because he's not having. And I think about it, I heard a message one time where the mom was telling the kid, throw out the trash. He said, I'll throw it out when I want to. He looked up. It knows that she looked up that there's somebody behind me. Dad, I want to. I want to. If he's Lord, then he should sit on the throne of our hearts this morning. He's the Lord. Paul, when he gets saved and born again on that Damascus road, he says, and this always got me too, Paul, I like it, says, Lord, what will thou have me to do? He's got letters. He's got a job. Boy, he's got a position. He's got all kinds of things going on. When he gets saved again and meets the King of Glory, see, he said, brothers, Lord, what will thou have me to do? He wanted to serve him at all. express everything to him. And a lot of times we start off doing that. And there's things just kind of keep coming into our lives, keep coming in, keep coming in. And can't do that. It's an impossibility. You cannot serve two masters this morning. There's an impossibility. I can handle it. I can do it. I can live that way. I can serve two. I can serve this one on Friday night and Sunday night go serve Jesus and then go serve. And really what it boils down to is we buy all these. And there's nothing wrong with having things. It's when things have us that becomes a problem. But we buy all these things to satisfy the God in our life, which is ourselves. Right? We want to satisfy ourselves. And again, there's nothing wrong with having things. It's just wrong when things have us. And so ask yourself this morning, what governs my choices? Is it God's glory or is it material gain
that governs you?
Can God get glory out of the things I'm... Is God getting glory out of the places I'm going to? Or is this just for material gain?
I don't know. The Bible talks about exercise. I need it for others. But going to the gym, cut off shirts, cut off shorts.
You got to ask yourself. I mean, I go eat at a CC's Pizza next to the gym. Well, does that count? That CC's Pizza's next to the gym. Does that count, Ivan? No? I do a lot of forklifting. Lifting. And but you see people walking out of the gym and you're like, what in the world? So my wife went out the house like that, we'd have problems. There'd be issues. I'd have to like, hey, something's going on. Boy, people walk out of their houses today, go shopping, let their children walk out, let their children look like there's gotta cover up some things. Got to protect some things. And so those individuals who maybe say, I'm saved, I'm born again, and you walk out your house like that? Is that really for God's honor? Is that for God's glory? Or are you doing it for material? Doing it for me. I want to look good. And it's good to look good. Nothing wrong with looking good. Nothing wrong with not staying in rollers all day and the, what is that, nightgown, the Momo on all day? Hey, there's nothing wrong with not wanting to do that. You know what I mean? Husband's coming home. Let me get dressed up real quick and make it look nice. And, you know, the husband tries to keep a little bit of shape on him too, you know, and puts highlights in his hair. But what governs your choices today? Is it God's glory or material gain? Who receives your first love? Who receives your first loyalty? Who receives your first attention? True discipleship demands a singular allegiance. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4 and verse 8, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him shalt thou serve. Number three, ye cannot bear fruit without Christ. He says in John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. On the night before the cross, Jesus prepared his disciples for a life without his physical presence. He uses the vine and branches metaphor to illustrate a spiritual union and dependence on him. The branch has no life apart from the vine. Abide means to remain and to dwell continually. And so Jesus declares not that we can do little, but that we can do nothing apart from him. All spiritual fruit, love, obedience, witness, prudence, all that flows from union with Jesus Christ. Abiding is not emotion, but it is continual communion. Walking with Christ in obedience, walking with Christ in prayer, walking with Christ in His Word. And so when we lose that connection, a spiritual barrenness follows. Listen, when you get out of the Word, when you get out of church, it's a barren. No more fruit in your life. No more joy in your life. No more peace in your life. No more love in your life. It's just barren and emptiness on the inside. And that's when these other things start coming in and say, well, I can make it up by doing this, and I can make it up by having this. And it never, never, never just quite satisfies. You've lost the joy because you've gotten outside. You're no longer abiding in the vine. And so fruitlessness is not achieved by effort, but it's produced. Or fruitness is not achieved by effort, but it's produced by abiding in the vine. All I've got to do is stay in the vine. All I've got to do is can stay in my Bible. All I've got to do is keep coming to church, keep doing the things I love doing. I want to do. I say this many a times. You know, those charismaniacs, they believe you can lose your salvation. They say, oh, you Baptists believe you can do whatever you want to do. And I say, yeah, I can do whatever I want to do. I said, but I want to go to church. I want to read my Bible. I want to pray. I want to stay around God's people. I want to start a working county. Yeah, I get to do what I want to do. When I got saved, well, I was a church member before I got saved, and so was my wife, and so we had to. Well, I've got to go to church. I have to go witness. I have to do this, and I have to do that. That's a life outside of salvation, that I have to keep up appearances. I have to speak right. I have to live right. I have to spit right. But when you get saved and born again, you have to get saved too. And it becomes I want to. I get to, brother, this morning, come to church. I get to be a part of the family of God. I get to know that I've got a home in heaven. I get to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I want to be in His Word. I want to be preaching. I want to start that work. My want to got saved. And so when we find ourselves outside and not abiding in this branch, or abiding in Jesus Christ and abiding in His Word and abiding with the things of God, we find ourselves barren, fruitlessness. No joy. And so, this is produced, this fruit is only produced by abiding in Christ. Number the last one, ye cannot enter after it's too late. Luke chapter number 13, verse 24 and 25. Strive to enter ye in at the straight gate, for many will say unto you, I will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. And shall not be able. Bible says, someone asked Jesus, Lord, are there few that be saved? And so Jesus redirects the question. Instead of speculating about the numbers, he calls for personal urgency. Personal urgency. The word strive means to struggle earnestly. Not that salvation is by works, but that entering requires sincerity, repentance, and a decision this morning. The tragedy is that many will seek and it'll be too late. After the door is shut, like the foolish virgins, they will find that grace's window of opportunity has closed. And that's also in Luke chapter number 4, when he says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, because he's anointed him to preach. You know that in Luke chapter number 4, he doesn't read that whole verse. he stops in the middle of that Isaiah 61 or 60 verse 1 in Luke chapter number 4. He talks about this is the, he stops at and the acceptable year of our Lord. And one day it's going to be all over. Luke chapter 4:19 to preach the acceptable year of our Lord. And the Bible says he closed the book. He closed the book. If you read it over in Isaiah, he didn't read that whole verse. The next portion of that scripture says and about the vengeance of God, the vengeance of our Lord God. Let me go over here and turn that to Isaiah chapter number 60, and verse number 1. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he shuts the book. But if he didn't keep reading, why? Because it says, in the day of vengeance of our God. The day of vengeance of our God. And so it's the acceptable year. He shuts the book. We don't see those books open back up until Revelation chapter number 4, when John is weeping. Because there's nobody worthy to open the book. And the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he's worthy. And he opens the seals. And he opens the book. Where does he open it to? To the vengeance of God. There'll come a day when you can no longer get saved. There's going to come a day when it's too late. There's going to come a day when you're going to seek and you cannot anymore. You've waited too long. And so he cannot enter in after it's too late. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die after this, the judgment. And so we've all got an appointment with death. What day is that? We don't know. He got an appointment with death. And once that door is shut, it'll be too late. Tragedy is that many will seek too late. After the door is shut, like these foolish virgins. And so the gospel door stands open today, but one day it will close. It'll close at death or at the return of Jesus Christ. The time for repentance is now. The Bible tells us that now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't put it off another day. Don't put it off another day. I'll ask Sister Andrea to come to the instrument. And I'll close here. And so the ye cannot statements of the Bible strip us of pride and self-reliance this morning. We just can't do some things, church. You just can't do it, so you can play whatever song you choose. If you're relying on yourself, listen, you got to come to the realization.